Welcome to installment 116 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains two commandments. Positive commandment number 93, concluding the laws of the Nazarite, discussing the conclusion ceremony, which he must go through at the end of his Nazarite period, and positive commandment 114, beginning the laws of Erechin, or evaluation, cases in which one must dedicate the so-called value of a person for upkeep of the temple grounds. Over the past few days, we have been discussing the law of the Nazir, the Nazirite, a person that has made a Nazirite vow for a certain period of time, who is required to refrain from three things: from cutting his hair, from coming in contact with a dead body, and from consuming any wine or grape products. At the end of the Nazirite period, let's say he has made a vow to become a Nazirite for 30 days, at the end of this period, he must go through a certain ceremony before he goes back to his previous state. This consists of shaving his hair and also the bringing of certain sacrifices, as we will soon discuss. In Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam tells us that there are actually three cases in which we have a commandment to shave. The first case was one only in a specific circumstance. In the desert, when the original Levites were consecrated in their Levitical duties, they had to first shave their entire bodies. This is not counted in a total of 613 commandments, since it was not given for all generations. The other two are permanent mitzvahs, although they are only practiced at the times of the temple's existence. The Metzeda, or so-called leper, also had to shave his body as part of his purification process. And finally, our commandment today, the Nazir, the Nazirite, at the conclusion of his Nazirite period, also must shave, in this case, shave his entire head. Since the purpose of Sefer HaMitzvahs, as the Rambam explained in his introduction, is to give a clear account of all of the 613 mitzvahs and to decide when a certain act should count as several mitzvahs or one mitzvah, the Rambam goes through a short technical discussion about why he counts these mitzvahs as he has done so. We have actually two different times in which a Nazir would have to shave his hair. One of them is known as Tiglachas Tuma, shaving on account of impurity, and another one, Tiglachas Tara, in order to make him pure. The first kind is when in the middle of his Nazirite vow, let us say, for example, he has become a Nazirite for 30 days, and in the middle of this period, he comes in contact with a dead body and becomes impure. This is something he was forbidden to do, but let's say it has happened. In that case, he must undergo Tiglachas Tuma. He must shave his hair on account of having become impure in the middle of his Nazirite period. There is another type of shaving, that which is done at the end, when he has successfully concluded his Nazirite period. He also must shave his hair and also bring certain sacrifices, as we will mention in today's commandment. The Rambam says that these are not counted as separate mitzvahs. In fact, the shaving which is done when the Nazirite becomes impure is really part of the general commandment of what he must do as a Nazirite, as a Nazir. Just as he has been commanded, as we had the positive commandment, number 92, that he must grow his hair, so too, included in the purview of this commandment, is the requirement that if he becomes impure in the middle, he shall cut his hair and then start again from the beginning of his Nazirite period. So therefore, it cannot be counted as a separate commandment, the shaving which he does on the account of impurity. The commandment today is that when he shaves in order to purify himself at the conclusion, or the shaving which is done when he is still pure at the conclusion of his Nazirite period. And so too, we have two different shavings by the Metzeda, the so-called leper, one on account of impurity and one for purity, and both of these, says the Rambam, also count as only one commandment. They do not count separately. And so too, on the other hand, in the conclusion ceremony itself, we have two parts. We have the shaving of the hair at the end of his Nazirite period, and also the sacrifices which must be brought. These are also counted as one commandment, since they are all part of the same ceremony. They only count as one. This, the Rambam points out, is unlike the case of the Metzeda, the so-called leper, since in that case, the Rambam counted them as two separate mitzvahs. The sacrifices counted as one mitzvah, and the shaving counts as another. And the Rambam will there explain the distinction, the reason why the Metzeda is a special case in which they are counted separately. The details of this commandment are related in the tractate Nazir. What does the actual ceremony consist of? There are three sacrifices which must be brought. He must bring a male sheep as an ola, a burnt offering, a female sheep as a chatas, or sin offering, and a ram as a shlamim, or peace offering. In addition to 20 chales, 20 loaves of bread, in addition to the olive oil, which was also brought in conjunction with them. We have mentioned briefly on other occasion why it is that the Nazirite must bring a sin offering. This is speaking about a Nazir who did not become impure in his Nazirite period. Why must he bring a chatas, a sin offering? The explanation usually brought is that the Nazir, since he has withdrawn himself from the physical world, has in fact done a sort of sin. Although he has reached a very holy level by elevating himself and separating himself from the world, nevertheless, by his refusal to drink wine, which is a physical creation of Hashem and was created to be used in order to serve him, just as all other permitted physical things were created, such as for making kiddush in this case, and for bringing simcha, joy, to a person, since the Nazir has separated himself from these physical things, therefore, in a way, his act of becoming a Nazir is considered a sin, and therefore he must bring a chatas, a sin offering. On the other hand, the Ramban, in his commentary on Chumash, explains things in the opposite way to a certain extent, that the Nazirite has been removed from all physical pleasures and all physical desires. Now, at the conclusion of his Nazirite period, he is going to return to them. Since he is now losing his holy state and going back to a profane state, so to speak, therefore he must bring a sin offering, because in comparison with his previous level, he is, so to speak, on a level of a sinner now. The two explanations, however, are not contradictory, since when would it be considered a sin if the person involves himself in these physical things for their own physical use, simply because of the pleasure involved? However, when does it become a mitzvah, and refraining from it considered a sin? This is when a mitzvah is done with them, when the physical objects are used in order to serve God better. Refraining from using physical objects in such a manner, that is a sin. However, involving in the physical things for the sake of their own course, physical pleasures, this the Ramban considers a sin, and certainly the both opinions certainly agree. How was the actual procedure carried out? First, the sin offering was slaughtered, then the burnt offering, and then the peace offering. Following this, the Nazir cut his hair. And after the hair was cut, the peace offering, the shlamim, was cooked in a pot. After it was cooked, or in the middle of its cooking, some gravy was taken out of the pot and poured on top of the hair which was cut. And this hair, which has now been wet with the gravy from the burnt peace offering, is thrown underneath the pot into the fire and burned on this fire as the peace offering is cooking. When we speak of sacrifices which were brought to the temple, sometimes we can lose some of the realization of their significance, even in practical human terms, in that they were extremely expensive. An entire animal to be brought, especially as a burnt offering, in which none of the animal is used for human consumption whatsoever, is a tremendously expensive undertaking. And especially here, the Nazir must bring three animals as a sacrifice. The story is told in Medrash that there are once 300 people, all of whom had taken the Nazirite vow. And upon the conclusion of their Nazirite period, they realized that they did not have the money to pay. None of the 300 could had the necessary money to buy the three animals for the sacrifice. A total of 900 animals was needed. They therefore went to the famous Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach to ask him what he could do to help them. And he started an examination of all their individual vows. And in half of the cases, 150 cases, he was able to invalidate their original Nazarite vow by investigating and finding that it did not conform to the requirements of the halacha. And therefore, these 150 had their vows annulled, and they were exempt from bringing the sacrifices, and in fact forbidden from doing so. The other 150, however, were valid Nazirim, and therefore he had to find some way of getting money for them. He went to his brother-in-law, the king Yanai, since Yanai had married Shimon ben Shetach's sister. And Shimon ben Shetach told his brother-in-law, King Yanai, that 300 Nazirim came to me without money to pay for their sacrifices. With what I had, I was able to take care of 150. And therefore I'm asking you for the other to take care of the other 150. After hearing how generous Shimon ben Shetach was, King Yanai certainly agreed he did not want to seem any worse, and he took care of the other 150. After he had done so, later on, the word came back to King Yanai that Shimon ben Shetach had never brought a penny, that there were no 150 Nazirim that brought sacrifices over here. The king sent out messengers to kill Shimon ben Shetach, and he had to escape. This is one of the times that he had to run away from his brother-in-law. Some time later, however, a group of Persians who were accustomed to hearing Reb Shimon ben Shetach's wise and enjoyable words when they would visit the palace asked where he was and wanted to see and speak with him. Word went out that the king would forgive Shimon ben Shetach, and after getting a confirmation that he would not be harmed when the king sent him his ring, he came back to the palace. Later on, the discussion ensued, where King Yanai asked, "Why did you lie to me in saying that you took care of the other 150? And Shimon ben Shetach said, "Chas v'shalom, I did take care of them with what I had. What I had was Torah knowledge, and this is something that I gained only after great effort, and it's something which now belongs to me. And with this Torah knowledge I had, I was able to use it to take care of 150. And therefore I asked you to take care of the other 150. Why, asked Yanai, didn't you tell me straight out that there were all just 150 sacrifice for 150 people needed? And Shimon ben Shetach said that I knew that unless you felt that I had done my share in solving the problem, that you would not help out. The second commandment of today's portion is positive commandment number 114, that of Erechei Odom. The tractate Erechim deals with questions of evaluation and dedication. Let us say, for example, a person said that I dedicate this person to the temple, or even speaking about himself. Obviously, he is not dedicating the person himself to the temple, but rather means the value of the person, a specific value which is indicated in the Torah in the end of the book of Leviticus in chapter 27. Depending on the age of the person who is being referred to, and whether the person is male or female, and even depending on the financial situation of the one who is making the dedication, a determination is made of how much the person must pay. And this money is given to the temple for Bedek HaBayis, upkeep of the temple grounds. The commentaries ask, why should it be that just a general value is described for the Erechim? Shouldn't it be that we should investigate the particular value of every individual person according to his strength, according to his capabilities, and so on? Why should we give such general sweeping rules? The Abarbanel explains that the Torah did this in order to not embarrass anyone. If a person would have his value donated to the temple, it would have to be revealed that a person had only such and such a value, and such and another person had a greater value. This would bring the person to embarrassment, and the Torah wanted to avoid this. We can see this even more clearly with the explanation of Chassidus, that when we go to the essence of every Jew is identical, and there are, in fact, no differences between them. Not only we don't want to make differences in order to avoid embarrassment, but the truth is that on the level of the neshama, the soul, there is no difference. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor a share, contact Sichas in English at 718-778-5436, and please join us again tomorrow.